Hey, this is Luke, and today on the Flipside podcast, we're going to be talking about why is Phil taking these 6 weeks of summer vacation away from the church? And so if you ever had these questions, why, where is he going? What's he doing? Why is this there? Then come and listen in, and I hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hi, and welcome to the Flipside podcast, where we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible Church. I'm Andrew, and joined in studio today by just Luke, because of our topic, actually. We're going to be talking about why the presence is missing, why there's a certain person who is not here. But first, Luke, how has your summer been? What's your daily rhythms as you continue to minister, and yet kids are out of school, right? And things are a little bit different. Are you feeling less busy, more busy? What's life like for you?
It's just a different kind. I mean, it's just, and there's kids now in and out of the house, but here's the good news. There's a thing called Salt City Splash.
That's right.
That's like the free babysitter. Well, besides the $60 annual fee, but it's like a great babysitter. You just like drop them off at 12:30 and they're like, you don't see them again until 6:30. Mm-hmm. So, and now you have, we have one of the kids driving now, so they could just like drive them over there, and so it's great. So it's a different kind of busy where there's, they're in and out. And, but yeah, ministry doesn't stop in the summer. It increases sometimes.
I'll say it does provide, Salt City Splash also provides a topic of conversation between me and your kids. I feel like I'm always asking them, how's the pool? Is it good attendance, good music, that kind of stuff. So it's a way for them to have some updates in their life.
Yeah, right.
So it's just Luke and I today. We are coming together to talk about Phil's absence, primarily in a way to provide some clarity. And really, the point of the flip side is to have a greater dialogue on topics that people might be asking about. They might be asking, why is Phil gone? What's going on? Why is he taking a break? Is everything okay? And we just want to, you know, dive into that and talk about some things. So why in general might we think it'd be good for a pastor to take time off, Luke? Maybe we can start there and work from general to more specific.
Yeah. So I think it's easy for people just to assume that, oh, pastors work 2 hours a week on a Sunday morning, right? That's the only public, or sometimes it's a massive majority. That's the public. That's the only public time that they see them is on a Sunday morning. But there is just so much in the background of ministry that, and it's so much that's on your shoulders. And we just, we just see that there is, I mean, let's just look at some of the things that's on a typical pastor's shoulders. So first, in Hebrews, it talks about that they carry the weight of their souls, right? That they are answerable to God for their sheep, right? Yeah. And so you have that like already like, oh man, like I have to answer to God for how I cared well for their soul. Right. Like not just like, their kid or they, you know, whatever. Like I watch them for a few hours if you're like a babysitter, but you're talking like their soul. I mean, it's pretty huge. And the culture, particularly of our church, is we embrace the weakness, right? So when we embrace that we are weak and Christ is strong, that means that people's weaknesses are going to be right out there.
That's right. Yeah. We wear our hearts on our sleeves. We're not too buttoned up. And those problems come probably on the head pastor a lot of the times.
Exactly.
They arise.
Yep. And the way that Phil is, he wants people to pour in, I mean, to pour themselves out to him. And he longs for that. It's not like where he tries to keep himself a distance to keep him safe, but he is down with the people, with everyone. And it's not like, you know, he's got this big, the clergy up here and the ladies down here. It's like there's an equal sense of just carrying people's burdens. And so there's that. And then another aspect of just pastoral ministry in general is in full-time ministry, you see darkness all the time. I mean, you're bombarded with people's sin problems. They're coming to you with your issues, their addictions, the brokenness in their families. And you are constantly just bombarded with that. And it's just, it gets weary on your own soul. So not only are you carrying their souls and their burdens, but then you're like, you're impacted by seeing that darkness sometimes day in and day out. And so sometimes you just need to step away and be like, okay, God is good, right? You need to step out of that darkness sometimes and step out of that brokenness to see, oh man, like God is at work, right? He is a God of peace. He is a God of comfort. And when you're in the midst of it, it's so hard to see it. So that's what's important about a time off. There's other aspects of when you there's some guys that now they're filling in for sermon preparation.
Right.
And what do they say? Like, I need weeks to prepare. you got to tell me at least, you know, a couple months in advance, because I got to spend my evenings. I need to spend my time to do that. He'll get 6 days.
Sometimes less. He's preparing Wednesdays.
Right. Now that's if he's working every day.
Yeah.
Right. Now we would say, well, I hope you get a couple of days off. So therefore you've got 4 or 5 days mm-hmm. if you want him to take those days off. So, you're it's week in and week out. You can't catch a breath. And that's mm-hmm. sometimes I've heard him say that, like, man, it's just like, I can't get ahead. Right. It's like, once I complete one, boom, Monday morning quarterback comes around. Right. And you're like, I got to prepare for the next one. And so sometimes it's also just to kind of get up a breath of fresh air. That's another reason.
Well, I would also say, even in the secular world, we get PTO. We are accruing days off as we're working, because I think even the secular world realizes that you work better from a place of rest rather than work. And so if there's too much argument against it, I think.
Coming from the business world, if a person is in an organization for 20 years, How much PTO would they be expected to accrue at that point?
I think they usually, I mean, they cap you at some points, but yeah, the longer you work, the more PTO you earn per year.
Yeah.
Because they realize that that you're probably operating at a higher function mm-hmm. than you were when you first started. And because of that, you need to unplug. You need to be able to operate in the business from a place of strength rather than weakness. The one thing I was thinking about as we were talking about Phil going on a vacation is just there was this movement to call all men's gatherings advances, right? Because men don't retreat, but that doesn't make sense practically. And it doesn't make sense in war. You need to do strategic retreats at times. There's times where the battle is lost and you move back so that you can move forward again. And I think everyone sees that, but in ministry, for whatever reason, it's hard for men in the ministry, I think, to ask that. I think that's probably where it comes from, right?
That's a great analogy of just the battlefront and advancing, and then hey, let's come back and let's re-strategize, let's rethink, and that is a lot of part of that of taking the time off for Phil is to say, hey, let's think through maybe some new strategies, because like I said, once you've all right, now you're done with a week, and it's like, all right, now it's coming back on again, and you don't have time to process, right? To think through what's the next 6 months or next year going to be like, next 5 years. I think he's even been contemplating what the next season of life is for him, as he's getting aged. Am I allowed to say that? Is he getting older?
I think older is fine.
Yeah.
Like, aging well.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's ready to say, I need to pass this on to the next generation. So what does ministry look like now for me? And so having to be able to take the time out, the time, the space to be able to do that. I love that analogy that you're talking about of doing that. Because the reality is, if you look at studies out there, close to 40% of pastors are right now are thinking of leaving the ministry because of burnout, because of exhaustion, because of they're just weary of the work. And so Charles Spurgeon has his famous line is that he calls it ministry ranting fits. So I think they're fits that a pastor will have as you're just in it day in, day out, week in, week out, year after year, month after month. And so you just get these fits of like, what am I even doing here? Like, am I even making an impact in anybody's life? Because again, you're seeing the darkness, you're seeing the brokenness all around you. Am I making an impact? Maybe I should just leave. Maybe I just go somewhere else. I'm not saying that's where Phil's at. Like, let me be abundantly clear. He is not at all like thinking of leaving. This is not like him thinking like, like the elders are thinking, hey, take some time out. Don't leave. Just take time off. Right.
It's not code red quite yet.
No,
we're preventing code red.
Yeah, that's right.
We're trying to be kind to our friend as much as anything else.
Yeah.
who has loved us so much. We want to love him back by being, I think in this time off, he was encouraged to take time off. Right? I don't think he had to beg for it or plead for it. People were saying, hey, you've been doing so much, please. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just being a good family member, a good friend, is to see someone who's hurting and ways that you can serve him better. And sure, the Sundays where he's gone are going to seem a little empty. And even this podcast seems empty without his presence. But it's necessary for his continued thriving. So I just love that so much.
Yeah. And don't you think that it's good for the church to see that Crestview is not Phil?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's Christ, right? Yeah. And so he can step away and the church is going to be, we all are going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And people are going to step up and you're going to be able to see different gifts in action over the next several weeks. And, so it'll be actually be, hopefully Christ honoring to say, let Phil decrease and Jesus increase in your life. If maybe you think like, oh, what are we going to do without Phil? My response is, Phil is just a guy. It's all Jesus, right? So, yes, we all love Phil, but I think he would want me to say that as well, to say, man, I want it to be Jesus and not me.
I think you had brought up a Christianity Today article. Do you want to reference that quote about empty pulpits versus empty pastors?
Yeah.
And your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So there was a CT article several months ago that talked about just the burnout of pastors and their exhaustion that they're feeling. And what they said is that the kind of the closing argument is that we shouldn't worry about empty pulpits, right? So there's a whole thing about the great recession, ministry recession, where about 20% of people in pastoral ministry are resigning and just leaving for different churches. And so there's just a 20% turnover rate in churches, which, I mean, that's for again, praise God that we have a pastor who's been here for 25 years. It goes way beyond the norm. And so what he was saying is that we shouldn't worry about empty pulpits, but rather empty pastors behind the pulpits. Mm-hmm. If we're not giving that proper rest, is that, hey, Phil's up there, he's behind the pulpit, he's doing good, but how is his soul behind there? Mm-hmm. How is he doing? How is he just resting in Christ? How are we giving him the space to be able to do that so that he can come back and serve us well?
So with this time off, what are some of the components that he's been encouraged to implement into his time off specifically? I assume he's not in Hutchinson sitting on his couch watching the Cardinals, as much as that would be fun for him and restful.
Yeah.
What are some things that we've encouraged him to?
Yeah. So, well, I want to address this first off, that it's not a sabbatical. So a sabbatical, the difference between time off and a sabbatical is where the leadership has said, we're going to set you apart for a certain season, three months to 6 months.
Book writing, article writing, things that are...
For a particular task, right? And so the elders have not set him aside for a particular task. There's not like some work that needs to be done. It's not like, okay, we want you to produce something or to rethink something, but it's just rest and rejuvenation and refreshment. So what's he going to be doing? He's going to be in prayer. He's been talking a lot. We've been conversing a lot about what does Sabbath rest look like? What does it look like just to be in communion with Christ again for a longer season? And just giving that time and that space. Right now he is in Florida enjoying time with his family.
Yeah,
so vacationing like many of us would do, right?
Yeah.
How many of us will go on a vacation for a week at a time or go to the lake on the weekends? Well, he doesn't have opportunities to go to the lake on the weekends because he has responsibilities to serve us on the weekends when the weekends that we are here, right? And so this is just a time for him to get away as a family. And then the rest of the time he'll be in and out at different Sundays at different churches. Again, he's not interviewing at different churches, but
he's just visiting. Reconnaissance, if anything.
Right. Yeah.
How he can bring some of those things with him.
So. Yeah. Right. And he'll go to different friends' churches that he's been involved in people's lives before and just be refreshed there and sit under their teaching and, that'll be a big portion of his time away.
So I think some of the questions maybe we can address that people might be coming up with, they may be thinking that, like we had already talked about, that this is code red and somehow we've hurt our pastor and now he needs to be away from us. Is that what's happening here? Is this something that we've done, or is it our fault that he's having to take a break?
No, that was actually one of Phil's big concerns when the elders were talking. This is a peek behind the elders' curtain. Even though none of the elders are here represented, so we're sharing their secrets.
You're saying, I don't know.
Yeah. But it is one of the things that he shared with the elders. Like, I don't want people to feel like they're the problem, that they're the fault. When the elders have asked him, hey, we want you to take this time off. And he worries that that's what's going to be communicated, that, oh, like, we're of trouble, we're a bother, we're the one that's making him exhausted. And that's not what he wants to communicate at all. It's just, we want him to be emotionally, mentally, spiritually healthy, and even physically healthy, right? Mm-hmm. So when your body gets rest, 8 hours of sleep, 9 hours of sleep a night for a season, man, mm-hmm. you're going to feel better, right? And then all that is going to be connected to one another. So it has nothing to do with, oh, there was, you know, this counseling case or something like that, or there's these people that are driving him crazy. No, it's nothing like that. It's just, hey, we've recognized that we're at a time and a season. I think I referenced it before that, Crestview over the last 5 to 7 years has really invested in the next generation of leaders to stand up, to raise up, and, to take this. And we can say, hey, Phil, we've got this now. Like, we're able to let you take 6-7 weeks off, and not be like, what are we going to do without you? Yeah. Right. And so God has blessed the church to raise up leaders to take ownership of certain ministries that he can take that away.
So in regard to that, is he taking too much time off?
Well, like we mentioned, I mean, he's approaching 25 years of ministry with us, and most organizations, they'll give 4 weeks of vacation for a person who's been there for 20 plus years, right?
Yep.
And so I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary. And here's the other thing. So we're just saying, well, he's taken more than 4 weeks. Well, how often in the last 20 years has he taken any sort of weeks of vacation, mm-hmm. right? We could probably count on both hands how many weeks of vacation he has taken in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So when you talk about like government jobs, they can accrue year upon year upon year, mm-hmm. because I remember I had a relative who, when he retired from a government job, he had 6 months of sick time. built up over, you know, how decades, right? And so if you count all of that, like, he's accrued all this time together. And so we're just, it sounds bad to say that we are giving him what is rightfully his and rightly earned. I think it's better to phrase it that, as like you said, as a family, like, we want to care for our family member well, mm-hmm. and give him that rest. And not that he's earned it, or he's, all right, you've put your time in. But it is, we can justify it at least to say that this is not too much out of the ordinary. Normal churches, they give their pastors time off.
Yeah.
They give them a season to say, here's a month or 2 months off in a year to take that burden away from you. So I think it's just a way that we can love and support him and love him as we would love ourselves, right? We would want to have a few weeks of vacation every year and that he hasn't been able to take.
And in some ways, I think we've had to strong arm him a little bit, because like any hard worker, your relative, for instance, how did he earn all that sick time? He went to work when he was a little under the weather at times, mm-hmm. and things like that. And that's how Phil is always living his life as a pastor. He's always mm-hmm. coming in when he's not 100%.
Yep.
When he has personal things that are bothering him, he's able to set that aside for the sake of the flock. And so this is really, if anything, the fact that he hasn't taken vacations and now he's taking some extra is fitting and right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he has, it's not because he's all of a sudden taking extra. It's probably closer to what he should have been doing right. all along. And we right. want to give him that freedom.
Yeah. And we want to honor him in that. Yeah.
Yeah. So while he's away, are there any things we can be doing? I assume asking him about little mundane things that are happening at church. And if he knows what time such and such is starting, that'd
yeah, right.
be helpful.
Hey, can we email him to see when VBS starts?
No, not yet. Just listen to the live stream. I think Luke said it a couple times.
Right.
So.
No, I mean, obviously the big one, that the big churchy answer is to say, like, just pray for him, mm-hmm. Pray for his family. Pray that he would get good, refreshing rest. Refreshing rest? Is that a thing? But refreshment and rest. So Yeah, that would be the big one. Giving him that time and that space, not having these big expectations. And then I think a big one that gets overlooked is to sending, I said, you know, give him time and space, but I would also say at the same time, to send notes of encouragement, send letters of encouragement. I think that for anybody who's in ministry, and I'll speak for myself in this, when you get these notes or you get people coming up and saying, mm-hmm. man, your life and your ministry and your teaching and your work has impacted me so much. I've fallen in love with Jesus all the more because of that. Man, there's no more joy that a guy in ministry can have when you say that.
Well, it's almost a sigh of relief. That's exactly what you've been going for.
Right. Yeah. That's your goal. Yeah. And God is blessing. I mean, it just shows that God's blessing your work. Like I said, all the darkness that you see in full-time ministry. And then for someone to say, hey, it's not all dark, right? Like God is working, God is moving, and he's moving in my life because of what you're doing and how God is using you. So send notes of encouragement if you can, like, you know, texts or letters, handwritten notes, you know, whatever. I think it would mean the world to me. So I'm sure it would mean the world to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of these days he will be back. We didn't have this in any notes or talk about this, but what might be some words of advice or ways that we can treat him when he gets back? We don't want to pretend like we didn't miss him, but probably we also don't want to overwhelm him like the whole church was not functioning well without him. So maybe just pastoral advice to us as we see Phil again in 6 weeks from now.
Yeah, just easing him back into it and not, all right, now I can bombard him with, I've a pent up, you know, 2 months of questions and pent up 2 months of issues, and here I'm going to board all. But, you know, you do have other elders that are there to kind of take that on as well. And so, yeah, you can say, man, I'm so glad you're back. Not like, man, yeah, like I said, it was a disaster, but man, glad you're back. Love you, miss you, and let's get back in the work. And what how can I serve you?
Sure.
What does it look like for me to come alongside you in this season?
Mm-hmm. Will he be back for a week or two, but still taking rest?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some good weeks where you can be a normal person around him.
Yeah.
I find myself, especially with Phil, having troubles turning off the business side. So we're always talking about services and how we can be serving the flock, but just talking about baseball, whatever thing, you know, would show him love and just be ordinary conversation would be wonderful. So, Well, I think this is very helpful. It's been helpful for my heart and mind to know that I am not the reason Phil is taking a break. And if you're listening to this, neither are you. He's just, he's taking a break so that he can better serve Jesus. We want him to be able to do that. So we're grateful that you would listen to the conversation. Hopefully it was enlightening, and we'll catch you next time on the flip side.